And then I want you to know these next three Wednesdays after tonight, Pastor Strout will be right here under the big tent, and he's going to be teaching us how to teach a home Bible study. He's going to be working with different home Bible studies and actually showing us right up here how to teach a Bible study. And many of you have taught Bible studies, but how many of you know it's great to watch someone else because you learn from how they do it? And certainly Pastor Strout is an incredible teacher. So if you can be here the next three Wednesdays, we are hoping that as we emphasize our attempt to share Jesus, that it will encourage you to do that in a great way. So we're going to pray, then we're going to look at Acts chapter 10 and get into this a little bit here. Let's ask the Lord to bless and to anoint us to receive from him. And then let us ask the Lord to help us to use what we receive tonight to influence somebody's life for eternity. Let's pray that way. Lord Jesus, we are your people. Look at us here. We're not here just to fulfill religious obligation or routine. We're here because we love you and we recognize that you saved us and now you want to send us and we want to serve you in our city and even around the world. We want to influence other people. We want to share you, Lord. So anoint this time together that we have. Anoint this church congregation, Lord. You have much people in this city and this generation, Lord, will see the return, Lord, your coming, the rapture. This generation will know the end of all things, Lord. And we want as many people to be ready as we possibly can help prepare. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say in Jesus' name? And let's look at Acts chapter 10 if you have a Bible. And we'll look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, and we're going to just start at verse number 1, and then we'll get into a simple Bible lesson to conclude this series entitled Sharing Jesus. And tonight we're just talking about sharing God's plan. Acts 10 and verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. What a powerful, powerful description of a life that was yielded to God. Someone that did not know Jesus Christ, and yet look at the description, devout, prayerful, reverent, fearful of God in terms of respect for the Lord and giving much alms, certainly out of his relationship or attempt to please God. He was a giver and helped the poor. But notice that even though he was devout, he needed a plan. Even though he was devout, God had some information that he needed to have in order to be saved. I think that's important to consider. He was devout, but he needed a plan. Furthermore, he gets a visitation from an angel. Now, that's pretty high on the list of supernatural experiences. And yet, even though he saw an angel, he needed a man to reveal to him what God had for his life. So just think about that. He was devout, but he needed a plan. He saw an angel, but he needed a man. I'm not trying to write a song or a poem, but I think we ought to think about that. Because in our world, even amongst Christians, we just pretty much take for granted if somebody's devout, if they respect God, if they even give quite a bit to help others, well, man, they're pretty much set. They don't need anything from the Lord. They certainly don't need to obey God. They've got it all covered. But that was not the case with Cornelius. And then when we see this man having an encounter from an angel, a supernatural experience, many people, even in Christian circles, would say, man, I know I'm saved because I felt the power of God, or I remember when God healed me. There are many people that have experienced the supernatural power of God, and as such, they don't feel like they have to worry about any other information, if you will, that might help them please the Lord. And yet Cornelius is a hallmark example that you can be devout and God still has to get some information to you that will help you to be saved. You can be someone that's had a supernatural experience with the Lord, but you still need God's plan for your salvation. And so that's why we've been talking about sharing Jesus, because sharing Jesus includes sharing God's plan. And we've got to be mindful of that. If people truly accept the Lord as their personal Savior, they will accept His plan for their salvation. If they're devout, if they've had some supernatural experiences, that does not disqualify them or somehow give them a loophole from knowing the plan of God to save their soul. And then we come into the process, because if the Lord has chosen to use people other than angelic beings to give others the information they need to be saved, then we must be ready. We must always be ready to say what needs to be said, to share the plan of God, because even devout people need to be saved. Even people that have seen the supernatural power of God need to know God's plan for their salvation. And so 1 Peter 3 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I just want to put this out here, and I don't want you to be nervous about this statement, but some of you need to get past just assuming that everybody you work with is saved. You need to get past just assuming everybody that goes to church is going to heaven. You need to be a little bit more knowledgeable of the Word of God than that. You need to be kind and speak the truth in love. And who are we to judge anybody? Who are we to make statements? Well, bless God, they're going to split hell wide open. That's not what I'm talking about. But we should not just kind of meander through life just assuming that people are going to get a pass because they're pretty good people and they go to a pretty good church. And maybe they don't know everything about the gospel, but surely the Lord understands that, you know, it was just a little bit complicated for us to stand up in our generation and act like there was really a truth, like there really was a plan. I really thought I'd get more amens by this point in the message, but I'm just going to assume you're amening on the inside. But we need to get past this veil. The God of this world has blinded people that don't obey the truth, that don't believe the truth. He's blinded good people. He's blinded religious people. That doesn't make them evil. It doesn't mean they don't love the Lord. But we must share Jesus, and we must share His plan for their salvation. That's why we're saved. That's why we know what we know. That's why we have what we have. And that's why we talked last time about some conversation starters. I won't go through all of this, but again, I mentioned this book that I read by William Fay, Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And he had a lot of experience in introducing the concept of sharing his faith with people that did not know the Lord. And so he came up with some questions that can help you get the conversation going in the direction of things that matter for someone's eternal destination. And so he would start off, and I've given the list there for you to remember. Talking maybe to a lady, he'd say, what's the biggest problem that women face today? And he would listen to the lady's response, sincerely interested in what she had to say. And then after she was done, he would just say, well, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And then that would be a way to at least start the conversation down the road that leads to, let me show you what I have found in the Word of God. He would even talk to men about sports. And if you remember, I mentioned last week, he talked to someone that likes football or basketball and say, can you imagine the salaries that these guys are making these days just to play football or basketball? And then their lives still get messed up by drugs and other kinds of abuse and different kinds of crimes. And he might use that as an entrance to say to that man, hey, how much money do you think a man really needs just to have the perfect life? And then he'd listen to that man's answer. He'd listen as long as that man cared to talk, just to show that he sincerely cared about that man's opinion. And then he'd ask the question, do you have any spiritual beliefs? It was just his way of trying to introduce the topic. Anybody in here could talk about sports, and here he was showing us you can talk about sports and end up talking about Jesus. Anybody in here can talk about the weather, and there could be a way to talk about the weather and end up talking about Jesus. For instance, man, did you hear about that earthquake? What's going on in this world? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? Everybody's thinking about God these days. And so we need to get beyond the sin of silence and create opportunities to engage people in a discussion about our faith in Jesus Christ. He was even bold enough to ask people, and I know we think this is offensive, but he would say, do you go to church anywhere? And when he found out if they went to church or if they had a casual connection with a church, he would be bold enough to say, well, how would I get saved if I was a member of your church? And he would listen sincerely as long as it would take for that person to share. And in fact, he discovered, as some of you have, that some people that say they go to church don't have a clue what their church stands for. Some of them say they go to church, don't even know the pastor's name. I'm not saying they're bad people, but we've let so many roadblocks get in our way of sharing Jesus with people. And so this is what we're talking about, breaking through that. If you run out of options, he even said, you can try something as simple as this. Hey, can you help me with a five-minute survey, with a five-question survey about some things that have to do with God? And these are the questions that he was trying to ask people. Do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? To you, who is Jesus Christ? Do you think there is a heaven or hell? If you died, where would you go? If heaven, why? And he would ask those questions. And he would listen as long as it would take to listen to those people answer those questions, because he wanted them to know, I just care about what you think. I'm interested in what you have to say. And you know, even people that might be initially turned off by any discussion about religion, they're delighted to find someone that will listen to what they think. Isn't that true? Even people that all of a sudden find out you want to talk about God and they start getting hostile, when you let them know, I just want to listen to you talk, they get so thrilled about the privilege to just tell someone exactly what they think about any issue, even these. And then the question that was critical in this process there, you've got it listed. If what you are believing is not true, if what you believe is not true, would you want to know? And if the answer is yes, then that's the opportunity to pull out your Bible and say, can we look at some scriptures? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're just going to look at some scriptures. And so here you are. You've made it to the point where someone has said, yeah, if what I believe is not true, yeah, show me what is true. And so you just pull out your Bible. And you see here on your little note here three different lists of scriptures. Do you see the first column starts with Romans 3 and 23? And then there's about 10 references listed. The second column starts with John 3, and there's about 10 verses listed. Is everybody looking at that? And then the third column starts with Ephesians 2, and then there's about 10 passages listed. Let me just explain that this is basically three different Bible studies in these 10 verses in each column. The first column is just a basic Bible study we're going to go through tonight that just reveals to anyone God's plan for their salvation. The second column that starts with John 3 and then reads down to Revelation 3, that is the same Bible study, but it's written more from the perspective of what Jesus had to say from his own words, declaring his plan for people's salvation. Obviously, the Word of God in its entirety is everything Jesus has to say about salvation. But we've got 10 verses, and most of them, at least the first six or seven, they are Jesus in his own words pointing people to his plan for their salvation. And then when you get towards the end, there's just an example of what happened when the disciples proclaimed the plan that Jesus gave. Then the last column, Ephesians chapter 2, you see that third column? That's a Bible study, 10 verses again, that emphasizes the necessity of obedience. Now, all three of these Bible studies produce the same results. But as you begin to work with people, you may sense that a particular Bible study might have a better opportunity to open the hearts and minds of the people that you're talking to. So again, remember, the first column, it's just a basic plan of salvation. We're going to go through it here for just a little while. The second column, it really emphasizes, hey, this is what Jesus said. And if Jesus said it, we ought to do it. And so that's the second column. The third column is really geared towards people that just, oh, I'm a believer. And you want to show them how important it is that not just that you believe, but that you obey. And so that's how these different Bible studies, three Bible studies, are outlined on your notes. Now, 10 verses in each of these columns, incredibly simplistic, intentionally so, because we're not trying to give everybody everything the Bible says about the plan of salvation. We're just giving you something that you can start having a conversation with people. You can start opening scriptures and talking to people. We're just giving you just a little snapshot, if you will, of God's plan so that you can talk to someone and lead them through God's will for their life. And this is, I think, something you will find very helpful. Now, the best way to use these scriptures, some of you have already done this, but for some of you, this will be new, and if you're not new to this, please be patient with the rest of us. You'll go to Romans 3 and 23. In fact, I invite you to turn there if you have a Bible. They'll put it on the screen for us, Romans 3 and 23. And for those of you that are helping us with these scriptures, I'd ask for you just to stay at Romans 3 and 23 for just a few moments while I explain something to everybody. When you begin to study this so that you can share it with others, when you open your Bible to Romans 3 and 23, you don't have to do it tonight unless you want to, but somewhere near Romans 3 and 23, you're just going to write down Romans 6 and 23. And if you are not familiar with this, we're just basically creating a chain reference so that if you can remember one scripture from your Bible, then you'll have all these other scriptures ready to fall open when you're ready to share the gospel with someone. So then, Romans 3 and 23, you would write somewhere near that verse where you can see it. In fact, you'd probably take a highlighter and you'd highlight Romans 3 and 23. And then with a pen next to Romans 3 and 23, you would write down Romans 6 and 23. That way, after you finish sharing Romans 3 and 23, you're thinking, man, I got them now. Where do I go? And you're just going to look down at your Bible and you're going to go to the next verse that you've listed, Romans 6 and 23. We're not going to turn there yet, but if you were to turn to Romans 6 and 23, you would highlight that, and then next to Romans 6 and 23, you would write down 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That way, when you're done sharing Romans 6 and 23, you would know exactly where to go next so that you could share what God has for people in a coffee shop, at school, in the break room at work. All you need is a small Bible. You don't need lots of literature. You don't need a big chart. You just need a small Bible, and you need to highlight these verses, and you need to write down the next verse that you're going to where the reference is, where you are currently. Does everybody understand what we're talking about there? Many of you already do this, but in a congregation this size, there's probably some that have never done this. There's probably some here that because you felt the Word of God was so sacred, there was a time you wouldn't even write in your Bible. Would you raise your hand? And there's some of you that wouldn't even write in your Bible. So for those of you that this seems a little bit simplistic, it's not as simplistic as you may think, and yet it is a very simple way to bring somebody into the Word of God and lead them through God's plan for their life. All right, so let's look at Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you've reached that point in the conversation where the person you're talking to has allowed you to show them what the truth is, all you do is pull out your Bible. You turn to Romans 3 and 23. You physically give them your Bible. And you say, you see that verse that's highlighted in yellow, Romans 3 and 23? Would you read that verse out loud? They take your Bible and they read out loud, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then after they've read that out loud, you say, "What does that mean to you?" And then they're going to love this part because, again, they get to tell you what they think. People love to tell you what they think. So there's nothing offensive about this Bible study. They cannot even say, "Well, that's just your interpretation." Because every step of the way, they're the ones reading the Bible, and they're the ones telling you what they think. And so, Romans 3:23, they read it. They tell you what that means to them. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." They say, "Well, that means that people from XYZ country are evil and they're going to split hell wide open." Well, that's not really what you were wanting them to say. So what you say is, "Could you read that again?" And you ask them to read it again out loud. And then you ask them, "Now tell me again what that means." And then you wait. And you just have them read it out loud as many times as it takes before it's obvious that they know what that verse means. So it's not you debating with them. It's not you trying to start some religious war at work with them. It's just you getting them to read the Word of God. Now, some of you are saying, "That is just so crazy, so simple." You know what we're doing? We're just saying, "God, it's your word, and it's going to work. Your word will not return void. I've been giving out church cards. I've been inviting people to church. I've been saying I'm praying for you. But now I want to sow some seed. I want to get the word in people's heart." And there's something about somebody reading the word of God out loud when they're in the company of an apostolic believer that's been praying and fasting. "God, when I share the word of God with this friend at work or this friend at the coffee shop, the Holy Ghost is going to begin to work. And when they begin to read these verses out loud, you're going to talk to them. You're going to reveal your will to them. You're going to show them your way, and they're going to receive a revelation of you." We're not dependent on our intellect. We're not dependent on what our religious creeds say. We're not depending on what the information from our headquarters says. We're just sharing the Word of God with people. And we're asking them to read it out loud and then to tell us what it means. And then we're believing God to reveal. And so, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're hoping that they will at least understand that this scripture makes it clear that all of us are sinners. That all of us need a Savior. That all of us have not made it or cannot make it to where we please God or where we are right with God on our own. Then, because we've written in our Bibles, Romans 3 and 23, we've written next to that Romans 6 and 23. We take them a few pages to Romans 6 and 23, and this is where we read, and they'll show us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We ask them to read that out loud. And then we say, what's that verse saying to you? And we're waiting for them to receive the revelation that that verse is saying that if you sin, you're supposed to die, something like that. But if you accept the gift of God, you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Anybody thankful for eternal life? Anybody think that it's not too complicated for anybody to read that verse and figure out what God is saying to them? You don't have to have a degree from a Bible college. You don't have to be a theologian or start a debate to say, what does that mean? And if they don't come out with the answer that really is the answer, could you read that again, please? Very kind, very respectful. We're waiting for the Word of God and the Spirit of God to change somebody's life. Then next to Romans 6 and 23, we have written down in the margin of our Bible, 1 Corinthians 15.